It has often been said, one person with God is a majority. Is it really true?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I am not taking calls today, so sit back, enjoy the program, take in this living word of encouragement that I want to bring to you today. But I will be interacting in real time on Facebook. So if you'd like to interact with me on Facebook, go to Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. You can just interact with the post for today's program, or you can Brown, that's at Twitter. Make sure you've got two L's in there, Dr. Michael L. Brown. On this broadcast, if you've been listening for any length of time, you know that we are realists. You know that we talk about real problems in the society, real issues in the church. We don't candy coat. We bring encouragement, we bring faith, we bring hope, because we are children of God, and in the Lord there is always hope. We are children of God, and we are believers. So we bring you a message of encouragement, but one that's truthful, one that's realistic, one that sees the problems and addresses them rather than ignores them or minimizes them. We can look at a Goliath, we can look at a giant, we can look at someone that seems so imposing and say, you are big and strong in the natural, but God. And the world looks at us like we're crazy, and the world mocks us, but we know better because we've walked with the Lord, and we've seen his faithfulness, and we've seen what he can do over the years. Therefore, we are not moved. I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast a colleague of mine, an American who's been living in Australia for many years, named Bill Muhlenberg. We both got saved as hippies, 40-something years ago. We have never talked by phone, never Skyped, never met face-to-face, but began reading one another's materials, articles, books. I had the privilege of writing the foreword to his book on homosexual practice called Strained Relations, which is comprehensive, but then focuses in particular on Australia, what's happening there. And it's amazing how many articles we write that are kind of in tandem or in sync, and I'll be addressing one thing and go to his website and find out he's just addressed that, or something I'm about to write on. Boy, he's got some great quotes to use. And his website is culturewatch.org, if you want to go there, culturewatch.org. But he wrote an article a little less than a week ago called The Overwhelming Power of One. And it got me thinking. It got me thinking about this theme that I want to share with you today. And Bill begins his article by saying this: it is one of the profound truths of history that just one solitary individual can, in fact, change the course of history. Great masses, he said, are not needed to bring about radical social change or cultural upheaval. Often just one committed person who has an embracing vision can forever alter the direction of a nation or even the entire world. And this cuts both ways, Bill writes. One evil person with a sinister vision can cause tremendous damage and misery on untold millions. But it's also true that one good person can impact the world for good and leave a lasting positive legacy. Thus, for good or for ill, a single soul can quite literally be a world changer. And friends, I want to say this to each of you. As I speak, I think of the many cities where this broadcast is heard in America. I think of the locations across the country and around the world where you're listening via internet or podcast. I think of the different places I've traveled to around the world, the many different cities and countrysides and scenarios. And I think of each of you in a different place, maybe living in an apartment building in Brooklyn, maybe living in some sprawling ranch out in Texas. I think of each of you and think, your life can make a difference. Your life yielded to God, your life walking in faith, your life with the Lord can make a difference that will not just affect a few people around you, but could have an effect that is felt into the next generation. Give up.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, it is The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted, as always, to be with you. Not taking calls today, but I'll be interacting online. If you'd like to interact with me via Facebook, just go to Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. Like that page on Facebook. You can interact with me there. You can post on the timeline, or you can interact with me in the post for today's show. Or you can interact via Twitter, Dr. Michael L. Brown. Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. You can interact with me there, and I will be doing some real-time interaction, hopefully during the broadcast, but not taking calls. Talking about what God can do through one person yielded to him. Billy Graham said, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. Can I read that again? Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. I read yesterday that it was the 100th anniversary of the birth of Rosa Parks. Now think of this. Would you have known the name Rosa Parks if it was because of her writings, if it was because of her scientific achievements, if it was because of her sports prowess, if it was because of some famous discoveries she made, if it's because she was the wealthiest woman in America? She was none of the above. America knows her name and celebrates her name because, as a working black woman in the South, told by the bus driver to surrender her seat and go to the back of the bus so a white person could sit there, she refused and was arrested. And that really ignited the modern civil rights movement. She had thought about it previously, that if such a thing happened, that she would act a certain way. And this particular day, long work day, tired, she was all the more ready to act on it. There are consequences with that, friends. There are consequences for standing up for what's right. There are consequences for saying, I'm not going to cave in and bow down anymore, even if it costs me personally. Look, who knew at that moment that she would become a civil rights hero? Who knew at that moment that people would talk about her birth 100 years later? Who knew at that moment that she would help spark and launch a civil rights movement that shook the nation? Who knew that what she did would ultimately pave the way for daring we can have a black president? Despite my not liking the president's policies, I rejoice that our country is able to have a black president. Look, friends, when she stood up for what was right, it was just one person. Yes, the civil rights movement was looking for someone. There was someone else, a younger black woman, a teenage woman, I believe, who had done the same thing, and she wouldn't surrender her seat. But then it was found out she was pregnant out of wedlock, and she could not be the national face on this, the national spokesperson. But Rosa Parks was the right person to do it. Who knew that one act of defiance to an unrighteous law, who knew what that would spark and the implications of that over the decades? I want to remind you that God is simply looking for our obedience. And if you'll study the scriptures, you'll see that many times God found a willing person. And when he found that willing person, now he had a way to change history and even the destiny of nations. You say God is God. He can do whatever he wants. Yes, and he wants to work with and through people. Let me say this to you candidly. The longer your list of why God can't use you, the better chance that you're an ideal candidate. Because those who are full of themselves, those who think they can do it, those who think they have all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the understanding, they are God's gift to mankind. And if God would just discover them, they'll do exploits for God. That's the kind of person that God's not looking for. Because what he wants to do is not humanly possible. And what he wants to do will be to his honor and glory, not to the exaltation of our flesh. So the longer your list of why God can't use you, the more he's probably saying, good, looks great. Weak, good. Foolish, good. Not big in this world? Good, great, just what we're looking for, so that when God works through us, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, he takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He takes the weak things to confound the strong and the mighty. He takes things that are not to confound, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? So no flesh will glory in his presence. So that it's obvious it's God who is doing the work. Perhaps your courageous stand will be the spark that ignites courage in others. Perhaps your stand of obedience in the workplace, not angry, mean-spirited defiance, but simply saying, sorry, I can't do that. Perhaps you were a clerk in New York State that was told that you had to issue a license saying that two men or two women could marry. And you said, look, I care about these people. I want to show them love, but in good conscience, I cannot do that. Perhaps that stand, which might cost you a job, could spark a moral and cultural revolution. You never really know, do you? Perhaps your act of kindness to that same gay couple could spark some type of moral cultural revolution when you say, look, I can't do this in good conscience, but I would like to do this on your behalf. Or you begin to minister to people. You become aware of needs of the community. You never really know. Perhaps your determination to not let go in prayer and get that answer and see that breakthrough in your life and see that person delivered from their deathbed, perhaps your determination to stay steady and not let go can open a floodgate of blessing and miracles on others. Now look, we've got to do each thing just as if it is one thing and not have these delusions of grandeur that every little step we take is going to change the world. But the only ones God has to work through are you and me, are regular people. He's not going to send angels to bring revival to America and the nations. He's not going to send angels to evangelize your community. Look, I'm no big shot. I'm no mighty man, world celebrity. But God has graciously done some things through me that have been humbling and that have me constantly recognizing it's God's grace and it's God's goodness. Well, some years ago, I spoke at the church in which I was saved. It was originally in Springfield Gardens. It was called the Springfield Assembly of God, although it was not an Assembly of God church. It was part of what was called the CCNA, Christian Church of North America, Italian Pentecostal organization. That's since changed its name as well. But 1971, November, December, was my time of surrendering to the Lord. And this was in Queens, New York. The church subsequently moved to Oceanside and became the Full Gospel Church of Oceanside, and then ultimately moved to Island Park. That's where I grew up. That's where my mom lived until recently, Island Park. A very small town, small community in Nassau County, Long Island, South Shore. So the church moved there, Island Park, and I was asked to speak. Now, I hadn't spoken at the church in many, many a year. And I went in to speak, and I did something I would never do in another context. But some of the folks who had prayed me into the kingdom were still there. I've shared this on the air maybe once or twice before, but it's appropriate to share again. In the thousands of broadcasts I've done, it's appropriate to share this story again. I went in there with a stack of books I had written, and I read some of the statements on the back of the books about how this book has the answer for the society, or this is the best book on this to win Jewish people to the Lord, whatever, these glowing words of praise. And I said, please understand this. This was a terribly lost sinner. And I pointed. I said, look, if you go out from this building here and go across the road and right over here to where the train station is, where these trains used to park, where these trains would pass by and stop, there were these trucks that parked overnight behind these trains, and we used to go and take the gas caps off of these trucks that were parked there and huff diesel gas to get high. You want to talk about something sick and stupid and destructive? And I said, and see over there, there's this doctor's office I broke into before I was saved, and we stole drugs from there. We ended up mainlining adrenaline, almost killing ourselves. And you see over here, we used to be the Lilco, the Long Island Lighting Company towers. One of them is 300 feet high. I said, we climbed that twice before I was saved and went to the top of it to get high, just to do something crazy. And I said, and some of you here witnessed to me and prayed for me. I mean, there were folks who did not have a high school education, but they knew Jesus, and they loved the Lord, and they knew the Word, and they prayed for me, and they helped pray me into the kingdom. And I called up one dear brother who patiently prayed for me and would answer my questions and used to come with his family, and they'd pick me up to go to church services, and I'd bring my drums down, a few drums, because I'd play at the church and join in the band. They would bring them in the back of their station wagon and patiently cared and did all this. And I had a stack of newsletters from our missionaries around the world, our missionaries that through our school have been sent out and are serving around the world. And I gave him that stack of newsletters, and I said, you share in this reward, man. You share in this reward. All these people out in the field bearing fruit in all these different nations, you share in the reward. Who knows what your obedience and sharing the gospel with some miserable lost rebel, who knows the fruit that could come out of that life that you can touch in a unique way. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you once again for joining us on the Line of Fire. I trust that today's word of encouragement, what God can do through one life, what God can do through one yielded vessel, that truly, if God is for you, no one, nothing can be against you. I trust you are receiving encouragement in your own heart, in your own life. I'm not taking calls, but I will be interacting on Facebook if you'd like to post a message there. My Facebook page is Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, or you can connect with me via Twitter. Right during the show, I'll be interacting DRML Brown, Doctor. So DRML Brown at Twitter. Oh, listen to what Charles Spurgeon said, courage we shall need, and for the exercise of it, we have as much reason as necessary if we are soldiers of King Jesus. C.S. Lewis said, courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point. Ah, oh, and look at this, from came from a terrific article by Bill Muhlenberg, who I've been quoting today, a colleague for Righteousness in Australia. Check out his website, culturewatch.org. Jim Elliot, martyred by the Aucca Indians, 1956. Look at what he wrote. We are so utterly ordinary, so commonplace, while we profess to know a power the 20th century does not reckon with. But we are harmless and therefore unharmed. We are spiritual pacifists, non-militants, conscientious objectors in this battle to the death with principalities and powers in high places. Meekness must be had for contact with men, but brass, outspoken boldness is required to take part in the comradeship of the cross. We are sideliners, coaching and criticizing the real wrestlers while content to sit by and leave the enemies of God unchallenged. The world cannot hate us. We are too much like its own. Oh, that God would make us dangerous. Yes. Now, if you're listening, say, dangerous? What are you talking about? No, not dangerous like some Taliban suicide bomber. Not dangerous like some crazed person running through a mall, slashing people with a knife. No. Dangerous to the devil. Dangerous to demonic powers. Dangerous to everything that is wrong in the culture, in the country. Dangerous in that sense. A.W. Tozer said, the true follower of Christ will not ask, if I embrace this truth, what will it cost me? Rather, he will say, this is truth. God help me to walk in it. Let come what may. And then Leonard Ravenhill is going to demand a lot of courage before too long to really live and maintain the true Christian life according to the word of the living God. Now, that's saying something, because Brother Len went to be with Jesus in 1994. Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardship with us as a good soldier of Messiah Jesus. Hebrews 12 tells us to run our race with perseverance. There will be testing, there will be obstacles, there will be difficulties, but if you're determined, my life is going to count. if you're determined, I'm going to do something for the Lord. Hey, I posted this quote on Twitter yesterday by D.L. Moody. Moody said, if a man wants to work for God, he can find work. Nobody can stop him. He was talking there in the context not so much of finding a job, going out, finding a job, working. No, that's another principle. No, he was talking about specifically working for God. You want to do something for God, God can and will use you. Your act of grace towards someone, you're patiently repaying evil with good, your secret prayer, your days spent in fasting, which no one knows about, the sacrificial giving to a cause, taking in someone in need and showing them the love of God, standing up for what's right, even when it costs you. You don't know what can be sparked by your one life. You don't know the difference it can make. And I can guarantee you this, that if each of us did what was set before us and each of us took advantage of the opportunities that God gave us, America would be shaken. Bill Muhlenberg in his article talks about how people can be used for good or for evil. And he says some of the individuals for ill, some of the individuals used for evil are easy enough to identify. Consider the impact of a Nietzsche, the philosopher, or a Stalin, or a Hitler, or a Mao. Millions upon millions of lives were lost because of some of these men, and their ideas have negatively reverberated throughout the halls of history. And if it's not an individual, it's a small, dedicated band often rallying around a powerful individual. Think of Lenin and his small band of Bolsheviks. They managed to overthrow an entire nation and then some and cause a global reign of terror to plague much of the earth for three quarters of a century. And Bill says, but the good guys, too, have had their influence. Think of someone like William Wilberforce, this great abolitionist. In case you don't know his story, you can watch the movie Amazing Grace, which could tell it in an even more powerfully Christian way, but still tells his story. William Wilberforce, the key individual responsible for abolishing the slave trade and slavery from the British Empire. This great abolitionist never had a large group around him in his many years of struggle against the slave trade. In fact, his very support of Clapham sect never numbered more than, are you ready, 20 to 30 active hardcore individuals. Yet they too changed the course of history. Now, of 20 to 30 hardcore individuals in love with Jesus, committed to righteousness, committed to souls, committed to honoring God, maybe I'm talking to you, maybe you meet in a home. Maybe you're part of a large congregation and have a particular ministry. Maybe you have some other organizational affiliation. Look, the Clapham sect sought to do among the rich what Wesley had done among the poor and the middle class. And 20 to 30 members, they shook the nation. They shook the British Empire. And from that, it swims over the Atlantic, jumps over the Atlantic, and ultimately affects America. Why not? You say, what do? Go after God and do what you know how to do. Go after God and do what your hand finds to do, and God will give you grace. Friends, if you haven't heard about our special resource offer this week, I'm really excited about it because it's totally unique for us. Reasons to Believe, wonderful ministry of scientists exalting Jesus and speaking about God's acts in creation. They've put together a mini book on 10 of the great discoveries, scientific discoveries of the year 2012 that point to a creator. I'll be doing an interview with them tomorrow, the Wednesday program, 2 hours of interviews with scientists from Reasons to Believe. We're putting together as a package their mini book on these great discoveries and the 2-hour interview that I'll be doing with them on radio. Just $12 postage paid for both resources. If you can help us with a greater gift, that's wonderful. But $12 postage paid. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, number to call right now, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the online bookstore. Hey, look in the mirror, friend. Look in the mirror and say, Lord, here I am. Use me.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, you have tuned in to the right show on the right day. Michael Brown, welcome to the line of fire. You know, it's not just a popular saying, a trite religious saying, that one man, one woman with God is a majority. It's true. It's true. And I'm not taking calls today. I'm interacting in real time. If you post a comment or a question on Twitter, Dr. Michael L. Brown, D-R, Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter, or Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. I'll be trying to interact with some of your questions and posts during the show, but I'm not taking calls today. I want to remind you throughout the Word that God didn't call a committee. I know that's another trite saying, but it's true. He didn't call a committee. He called an individual, or he called a small band. And as people said, Lord, here I am, send me, use me, often in their weakness, often in their fear, often in their trembling, God used those people, and the world has never been the same. And it's not just in the Bible, it's ever since. Look, even in today's world, there are bloggers, okay, that have had influence in the elections. And they were nobody. They were not people who had funding, who had extensive political background, who had all kinds of famous connections, but they were just frustrated. I mean, some I absolutely differ with totally, their mindset and their approach and their politics and all of this, but they were just frustrated and fed up and decided to post something online. And next thing, it caught on, and then it grew and became a major force online for causes that I differ with and some that I would agree with. But it just happened, and it was one person. It was one person. Look, the whole Facebook phenomenon, that didn't have good origins. That was not some wonderful altruistic thing. Well, we'll just devise this network and connect people around the world. How many billions of dollars is it worth today? And it's basically started by Mark Zuckerberg. And what was the story? He wanted to have pictures of girls at Harvard to check out. Was that how the thing started? What I'm saying is it's just a person. It's someone here. It's someone there. It's some prayer warrior that won't let go. It's some mom that takes a stand in her school district. It's some student that won't be bullied by unrighteousness. And before you know it, the thing spreads around the country. A lot of this is just in the natural. What happens when God gets involved? What happens when God breathes on something and says, I want people to hear that message. I want people to read this book. I want people to sing this song. I want this trend to take over. God breathes on it, and you never know what happens. I want to make a confession. I feel that all too often we spend too much time doing and not enough time first praying and getting God's strategy and then praying for Him to back it. I've often quoted the words of S.D. Gordon, who said, prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. You know, even with this radio broadcast, it's something that we pray over and we cry out to God for. We have a prayer team that gathers on a regular basis to pray because words alone are not going to have the impact that we desire to have. Words alone are not going to help spark a moral cultural revolution. Words alone are not going to help stir awakening in the church or raise up missionaries for the nations or help bring about the salvation of Israel. But words anointed and empowered by God can change the world. Isaiah 55, God said that His word that goes forth from His mouth will not return void. So when we speak as His ambassadors, when we glorify Jesus, who knows what could happen? I want to encourage you today that God can use your life. And in fact, the less connected and influential you are, the more He can use you if you yield to Him. And I want to come back on the other side of the break with a real important spiritual truth about standing for what's right.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back once again to The Line of Fire broadcast. All right, just a quick announcement to all of our friends in the greater San Diego area. Beginning tonight, I will be participating in the Truth Exchange with Dr. Peter Jones. That is going to be in Escondido, California. You've got to register for this conference. I believe there's still time to do it. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and just click on the itinerary or scroll down to the bottom of the homepage for more info. And then Friday night, 7 p.m., the Connection Church in Poway, I will be speaking on hyper grace, the erroneous teaching of hyper grace. Then February 9th, Saturday morning, Beth Shalom Messianic Congregation, that's in Corona, 10 a.m. Saturday morning. And then I'll be doing an afternoon teaching as well on the real kosher Jesus. And then Sunday morning, 10 a.m., Gathering Place Church in San Diego, speaking about the joining of the generations. And it should be a very important day at each of these places. So please, if you are anywhere within a few hours of greater San Diego, come and join me for one or two or three of these meetings. And please introduce yourself to me after the meeting if you are a Line of Fire listener. If you're listening on K-Praise, KPRZ in San Diego, please, by all means, let me know. Come up and greet me. Okay. Many of you know that for some years now, part of our ministry has been involved with dealing with homosexual issues, the great challenge for the church today to act with compassion towards individuals while standing for righteousness at the same time. And the word God spoke to me was reach out and resist. By the way, not taking calls today, but you can interact with me real time on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook, or on Twitter, Dr. Michael L. Brown, Dr. Michael L. Brown with Dr. on Twitter. Many of you know that I've been living by this word from the Lord, reach out and resist. Reach out to the gay and lesbian community with compassion. Resist the activist agenda with courage. It's been part of what God's called us to do. And when I started, when I first got involved, I fully understood that naturally speaking, without divine intervention, that the battle was lost for this generation. That's where I started. You say, well, that's pessimistic. No, that was realistic. In other words, I saw that things had gone so far in terms of changing of mindset and opinion through the media, changing of mindset and opinion through various gay activist strategies, changing of mindset and opinion just because of a gay friend or family member that you know that doesn't line up with what might have been a stereotype caricatured picture painted by much of the church. Whatever the causes were, I saw that things had gone so far, naturally speaking, that the battle was over for this generation. In other words, it was already a lost cause for this generation, but God. So my faith and confidence are in God, not in the latest polls, not in the latest votes, but in God and in God's faithfulness and truth. Now, I was fully persuaded that ultimately God's ways would triumph and we would see what is best for people and what is not best for people, even if we lost a generation. But my starting point was we've already lost this battle. God has to do something supernatural to turn the tide. So when gay activists say throw in the towel, it's over, it's too late, well, you know, the battle's over. More and more saying the battle's over. That's part of the battle strategy to say it's over, quit, capitulate. It's like, oh, this is not news to me. I knew that, you know, looking at this almost a decade ago, that for this generation, quote, our side had lost in the natural. But you think that stops me or is going to stop you from doing what's right? Now consider this principle. Because we often get discouraged when the good things that we're doing don't bear the fruit that we want to see, even when we know they're right. Even if we know that we should be standing in front of this abortion clinic and sharing the good news of Jesus and offering hope and life to those that are going in there to terminate their pregnancies and kill their babies in the womb. And we don't see fruit. We know it's right. Do we quit doing it because we don't see fruit? Now, thank God for the fruit that is there. But many times you labor and don't see it. There's a list of missionaries that labored for 7 years before they saw their first convert. 7 years. And I can't imagine what those 7 years were like, because they were overseas, say, 150 years ago, and they had virtually no communication with the outside world. And maybe they write a letter, and a year later they get an answer to the letter. Or a missionary writes 300 letters and gets one response a year later. Can you imagine what life would be like in those situations? And there's no one of your own culture to talk to and relate to, and it's maybe just you and your spouse and kid, and then your spouse and kid die of tropical disease, and you're out there alone on the mission field, and you're sharing the gospel and sowing seeds, and you know the word is true, and you don't see fruit, and it takes 7 years before you see your first convert. Can you imagine the type of perseverance that requires? And the principle is, we do what's right because it's right. We do what's right because it glorifies God. We do what's right because we can do no other. It doesn't matter if it's pragmatic at the moment. It doesn't matter if it's popular at the moment. It doesn't matter if it's successful at the moment. The question is it right? My dear friend, you're preaching, you're teaching, you're standing up for righteousness. Oh, you're not the only one out there doing it, but you're standing in the midst of a whole swirl towards apostasy in your denomination. And you're standing there for righteousness, and it's going against you, and things are not looking well. Do what's right either way. Obviously, you can't change the message. You can't compromise what you believe. So there's a well-known quote from Dr. Martin Luther King. And he said this: on some positions, cowardice asks the question, is it expedient? And then expedience comes along and asks the question, is it politic? Is it politically right, sound, feasible? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? Conscience asks the question, is it right? Conscience asks the question, is it right? 2 Corinthians 13:8, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. In other words, doesn't matter if the truth is popular. Doesn't matter if the truth is politically correct. Doesn't matter if it's going to get you fired or get you hired. Truth is right, and we do what's right because it's right. And we do what's true because we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. So King said, there comes a time when one must take the position that is neither safe nor politic, meaning politically correct, nor popular, but he must do it because conscience tells him it is right. So to my gay activist friends that are listening, and you might want me to know that you don't consider me a friend, that's okay, you're not my enemy. You may be listening and saying, you're stupid, man. Why are you wasting your time? Why are you wasting your energy? You're not going to win this battle. Well, I'm standing here for what's right because it's right. Can I ask you a question? If you're a gay activist, if you've been at this for a while, there was a time when your side didn't have a whole lot of hope. When things seemed to be overwhelmingly against you, what did you do? Well, you said, no, this is right. These are our rights. This is a matter of equality, tolerance. This is who we are. We're not going to back down. Well, why do you expect me to back down? Why do you expect me to back down from standing there for what's right? If I'm sharing the gospel with Jewish people, I've shared the gospel with some rabbis, some we've interacted for years. They haven't influenced me. I haven't influenced them. At least I'm not aware of it. And you say, well, why do it? Well, because it's the right thing to do. Because Jesus is the Messiah. And they're reaching out to me because they feel they're doing what's right. I want to encourage you not to make the big issue, is this successful? Because often that gets us off track. Success may come a generation later. Success may come built on our grave. Success may come after rejection. Hey, I'm thinking of someone who wasn't resurrected until he was crucified. In fact, there's never resurrection without crucifixion. Jesus said, unless a grain of the wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So let's make a determination, not in a hostile way, not in an obstinate way, not in an arrogant way, not in a mean-spirited way, not in a fleshly intimidating way, But in a humble, God-honoring way, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to stand up for truth. I'm going to stand up for compassion. I'm going to stand up for justice. If it costs me my job, it costs me my job. If it costs my reputation, it costs my reputation. God will rebuild a better reputation as I honor him. Don't be intimidated by negative results. Don't be intimidated by temporary failure. Don't be intimidated by the tide of society going against you. Because we stand for Jesus and we stand for biblical principles because he is Lord and those principles are true and right, regardless of whether we see outward success. If God's with us, no one can be against us. And that's the foundation on which we stand.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I have been talking today about God using one individual, God using you, God using a small group when you determine to honor the Lord regardless of cost or consequence, when you decide to do what's right simply because it's right. When you hang on in faith because God's given a promise, you have no idea what can come out of that, the lives that can be touched. You have no idea how history could be changed. You have no idea what the ripple effect might be. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I'm not taking calls, but if you'd like to post a comment, I might be able to interact on Facebook. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. It depends on what happens with how many people are interacting, but I hopefully can interact with some of you. The same on Twitter, Dr. Michael L. Brown, Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. So either of those places you can connect with me during the broadcast, and hopefully I can interact with some of you in real time during the show, but I'm not taking calls. If you've never visited the website of Bill Muhlenberg, by all means do so. You won't find smoke and mirrors there and all kinds of special effects. You will just find article after article, sometimes two or even three in a day, about issues of real importance. Now, a lot of time it's focused on Australia, where Bill, who's born in America but lived in Australia many years, where Bill currently lives. But you'll find many, many articles of interest to America and the entire world, and we're often writing on parallel things at the same time. So I've quoted from some of his article, The Overwhelming Power of One. He says, we find time and time again just one strong individual or one small but determined group of individuals bring about major changes which have become the stuff of history books. Many others, of course, have commented on these truths. Let me cite just a few, both religious and non-religious. Samuel Adams, one of the pioneers of American independence in the American Revolution. He said, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. Well, we can be irate against hell. We can be irate against the devil. We can say, devil, you're not going to destroy lives anymore. And if we are determined to set brush fires of freedom in people's mind, no telling what can happen. Bill quotes anthropologist Margaret Mead, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. Jack Kemp, former football player and congressman. The power of one man or one woman doing the right thing for the right reason and at the right time is the greatest influence on our society. How about Spurgeon? The greatest works are done by the ones. The hundreds do not often do much. The companies never. He doesn't mean business companies, but large numbers of people. It is the units, the single individuals that are the power and the might. Individual effort is, after all, the grand thing. Mother Teresa, never worry about numbers. Help one person at a time, and always start with the person nearest you. Oh, that's some profound wisdom, isn't it? Never worry about numbers. But Lord, there are a million starving people in this nation. Whatever the country may be. Lord, there are 10,000 homeless people on the streets. Lord, there are, here in America, 55 million abortions since 1973. Lord, there are over 1 billion Muslims, a lot of numbers, a lot of people. I agree with her counsel. Never worry about the numbers. Help one person at a time, and always start with the person nearest you. Perhaps God laid this on my heart to talk about this today, so you, dear mom, would treat that needy next-door neighbor with greater compassion, and perhaps that person will come to the Lord and become the greatest soul winner in your neighborhood. Perhaps, dear dad, listening to me, that this is a message for you to go home and spend that quality time with your son, who is more important than the stock market, who is more important than the sports scores, who is more important than all the other distractions. Perhaps it's just telling you, you make that difference one life at a time, and you might become the most blessed dad in your city and your son the most blessed boy in the region. You don't know. You really don't know, do you? I mentioned last year how inspiring it was for me to visit what's called the Billy Graham Library here in Charlotte. It's not really a library. They have a few thousand of his books out, and then there's a bookstore. But it's primarily a tour that you go on with memorabilia from the Grahams through the years, and screen clips and different things, audio, video. It's great. It's well done. It's good for the whole family. And when I went through it, I was stirred. I was personally stirred, because you realize here's somebody that was kind of a nobody. He was this gangly young guy, got saved and had a heart to preach, went to a Bible school I'd never heard of before. I imagine thing hasn't existed for many years. If it's still there, please forgive me. But I mean, my impression was it was there, but I certainly never heard of it. If it's still here to this day, God bless you. But I never heard of it. And here God used him. And the particular time I was there, they had this special exhibit of all of the international and national leaders that God had used Dr. Graham to touch, and president after president, and this king and this queen and this person and that. And who was it that raised him up? Jesus. And what was it that made his life special? He preached Jesus without shame, without compromise. God's looking for individuals. God's looking for a single person right now that will say, Lord, whatever it takes, I want you to use my life. And then you do what you know how to do. You act on the light that you have. You walk in what's before you to make a difference. Mother Teresa said, I alone can't change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples. Here's one person. You never heard of him, but it was through his preaching that one of the most famous preachers of all time get saved. But that's another story. I don't have time to share it today. But friends, you don't know what God can do if you yield to him. And one person yielded to God really is a majority. And if God is for us, nobody can be against us. All right, remember to check my itinerary. All my friends in the greater San Diego area, go to AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage, scroll down to the bottom or click on itinerary to find out where I will be for the next 5 days in greater San Diego, right through Sunday. And then while you're on my website, click on the online bookstore to find out about today's special offer. On tomorrow's broadcast, I'll be interviewing for 2 hours on the Wednesday broadcast, for 2 hours, scientists from Reasons to Believe. We're going to be discussing their new mini book on 10 great scientific discoveries that point towards the Creator, discoveries in the year 2012. You can get that mini book and the 2 hours of interviews for just $12 postage paid. But call today, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, don't sit back and make excuses. Don't list the reasons of why you cannot. Instead, look at God and say, God, I believe, and with you, all things are possible.